In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is actually the fifth Sunday of the month of Abib, and it's also the 29th of the Coptic year. So typically on the fifth Sunday of each month, the church will read for us the passage of the five loaves and the two fish. But because today we're celebrating three feasts, the Annunciation, Nativity, and the Resurrection, on the 29th of every Coptic month, the church read for us or selected for us the reading of the Annunciation of Archangel Gabriel to Saint Mary. When you read this passage, you'll find that the Archangel complimented or praised Saint Mary several times. He told her that, "Rejoice, O full of grace, you are filled with grace." And he told her, "Blessed are you among women." And also said that you have found favor with God. All of these were like praises for Saint Mary. And her response was, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord." So she looked at herself as being a simple handmaiden, and all of these praises that were given to her, that she wasn't worthy of them and she didn't consider them. So I think one of the prominent virtues of Saint Mary, and as we enter into her fast next week, or is her humility. So I'd like to speak a little bit today, this morning, about humility. We'll speak, remind ourselves about some of the features of humility, of genuine humility, and then about examining humility in ourselves. And this will be the point that I'd like to put emphasis on. So the first, the feature of the humble person is that they consider no one lower than themselves. Sometimes we're taught, and even some of the church fathers, they teach that, you know, the humble person thinks the least of himself. And this is true, and this is beneficial. But also, if we would add to that, maybe as a beginning step before thinking of myself as the least of everybody, is that at least what I consider nobody else lower than myself. And if you think about it, what the Lord said, our commandment to us, was to love your neighbor as what? As yourself. So it's almost as if he's telling, look at your neighbor and raise him up to yourself. So in the heart of this, yes, is love, but it's also humility. And I consider the people around me as myself. So I don't look at the people around me as being lower than me. And the humble person is usually not interested in ranking others nor themselves. It is very easy for us, and it's maybe commonplace, for us to rank people, rank objects, rank, you know, children, rank possessions. My house is bigger, smaller than so-and-so. My children are smarter than so-and-so's children. I have this kind of car, and the person has a better kind of car than me. All of these rankings, the humble person doesn't do. But rather, they're interested in raising the other people up. There was an old saying about leadership that says it's relevant to what I'm speaking about. It says, a pseudo-leader always leaves you with the feeling of their greatness, while an authentic leader always leaves you with the feeling of your greatness. Of your greatness. So, if we can replace the leader with the humble person, you know, will make you feel that you're good and you have hope, rather than, I'm better and I'm great, right? So the true, genuine leader is the one who's going to promote other people to raise them up, not to make myself better by putting you down. And actually, this is what the Lord Himself taught His disciples. He Himself cast out demons, healed the sick, preached to the poor, and so on. But when He went to go send His disciples out, He wanted to raise them to His state as well. He told them, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So He tells them to go do exactly what He Himself did. But as you and I know, in Mark chapter 9, there was a man who had his son who was possessed by a demon, and it made him convulse at the point where he foamed at the mouth and so on. And the father said that, "I went to your disciples and what? they couldn't cast him out. They couldn't. So the disciples knew in themselves that, you know, he's being very kind by telling us he gave us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and cast out all demons. Because we tried and we didn't, we failed. But the Lord is trying to raise them up and says, no, I give you the power. And this will be completed and perfected on the day of Pentecost when they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he wants to raise them up. And he also told them that, you know, that yes, I did great things, but you will do even greater things that I have done. So he wants to raise them up. The humble person considers no one lower than himself. Also, the humble person increases, or humility increases with spiritual growth. One of the saints said, the more the saints approach God, the more they see themselves as sinners. The more the one approaches God, the more they see themselves as sinners. And I think this was a characteristic of many of the fathers and many of the saints. If we look at the life of our father Abraham, he had a relationship with God from when he left his father's house. And then when he stood before Sodom and Gomorrah, and he heard that God wanted to destroy the city, before he was going to plead on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah, what does he say? He says, indeed, now I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. So he looked at himself as dust and ashes before the Lord. You know, there was an old like story of a man who was like a chief of a village. And somebody came to him and said, you know, how do you see yourself among the people of the village? And he said to them, I am the chief of the village. And they said, okay, what does the chief do? I'm responsible for the decisions and so on and so. And they said, okay, how do you see yourself among the region that you're in? He says, you know, I'm one leader among many leaders. And then they asked him, okay, how do you see yourself in the whole country? He's like, I'm maybe just a little peasant compared to everybody else in the country. And they said, how do you feel about yourself before the emperor? He says, I'm like a flea to the emperor. So if humanity, as we put ourselves before authority, the higher authority we go, the smaller and smaller we feel. I might be a private business owner and I feel like I'm the king in my business. Then when I stand before the governor, or I stand before a president, or I stand before a council of presidents, I begin to feel smaller and smaller and smaller and more insignificant. So imagine now, as I increase in the presence of God, the humble person will realize as they approach God that I'm a sinner. St. Peter, when the Lord was on the boat with him, and he had a miracle, and he had St. Peter cast in it, and he caught all the fish. The moment he realized that this was the Lord, what did he do? He fell down before the Lord and said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So I'm not worthy to have your presence on my boat, because I'm a sinner. Those who grow in their spiritual life will grow in their understanding that I'm a sinner and I've fallen short. The person who stands before Abuna and says, yeah, I did one or two things and I have nothing else to say, then they haven't examined themselves well, or they haven't approached before God and seen the trueness of who they really are before God. The humble person also does not consider himself worthy, who doesn't consider himself worthy, who doesn't say to themselves that I'm entitled to this, I deserve this, and this is my right. The humble person is not focused on these things. And this was the teaching of the Lord. If you remember, when the Lord was teaching his disciples, he told them, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic also. So the person who wants to take your cloak, don't withhold your tunic. Give him your tunic as well. And then he says, from he who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. So you take something from you, don't ask them back. What is he trying to teach them here? That don't consider yourself as worthy to have everything that you have. Or this is my entitlement. This is what I should be having. No. But he wants us to consider ourselves as unworthy of all the gifts that he's given us. And this is the perception of this is the understanding of the humble. If again, you look at the passage of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Lord is telling us that the Pharisee stood there and prayed that he was not like those who do bad and wicked deeds, and that I fast twice a week and I give my tithes and so on. And then the same passage, it turns to the picture of the tax collector, who says what is that he's beating on his chest, that he's unworthy and he is a sinner. And the Lord said that he went away justified, whereas the Pharisee who did good but thought himself worthy was the one who went away unjustified. Also, a really good example of this is the centurion, the Roman centurion, who was a non-believer. When his servant was sick, he asked his servant to go to Christ to ask him to heal his servant. Why? Because he said, I'm not worthy. In the Gospel of Matthew, it mentions that the centurion is the one who came to Christ, and in Luke it says that his servant was the one who came to Christ. But both say the same thing. What does it say? It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. He wasn't worthy to have the Lord come to him, but he believed if he said something, that would be enough. But because of this sense of unworthiness and the faith that he demonstrated, his servant was healed that very moment. So this is what the humble feel. They feel that I'm not worthy of so and so. Also, the humble, if we want to connect it to the previous point where we feel unworthy, also the humble doesn't consider or considers everything that they have received as if it's from the hand of God. Everything one has received is from God. And again, St. Mary, in this passage of the Annunciation, if you continue reading, she says what? For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. So she's attributing everything that she has was from God, and the praise that I'm getting is actually the praise that belongs to God. And this is a good, maybe, plan for us, or a good practice for us. If anybody ever praises us, turn that praise to God, because at the end of the day, what did we have that we didn't receive, as St. Paul says? He says, you know, of what do you have that you did not receive? If you indeed received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? If you think about it, everything that we have, we received, either from God or from somebody else. The mind that I was able to have to go to get my education and get a job, this was a gift from God. The ability to go to school, maybe I had parents who were able to afford for me to go to school and provide for me an opportunity. Everything we have, my beloved, is something that we received. The humble person realizes this and is thankful for this. And to be honest, our spiritual life begins here when we realize that we are poor and everything has been given to us either by God or from someone else. So how is it that we examine our humility? How we examine our humility? And this is important to kind of put things into perspective for ourselves. Just four quick points. Number one is when you are being praised or celebrated. Our humility is tested when we're being praised. How so? We either react in one or two ways. Either we boast and we attribute the accomplishments and take the credit for ourselves, or I'm conscious of the individuals who caused this success. There's a difference in a person who, when they're praised, says, oh, yes, I did so and so and so. And this might be accurate. But there's a difference in another person who says, yes, there was success, but not because of me, but because the people who were involved with me. There was one of the bishops who had a very active diocese, was being praised for all of the activities in his diocese. And he comes and he responded by saying, you know, I take the credit for all of these things, but to be quite honest, they're not all the things that I have instituted. But many people that come have ideas and have plans, I give them my blessing and they do it. But I get the praise for it. So this is the right mentality. I look at the people who are involved in any success and say, no, the success is done because of this priest, because of these servants, because of these co-workers, because of these children. whatever success we have, we're not alone in this success. So our humility is tested when we're praised and celebrated. And this, unfortunately, for King Herod, Antipas the First, in Acts chapter 12, he failed this. He gave this oration. The Bible says that he was arrayed in his royal apparel, sat on his throne, and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a God and not of man." They were praising him. And because he liked this praise and he desired this praise, then the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. So he unfortunately was a poor example of this, of where he took the praise for himself and the Lord struck him. The second way our humility is tested is when we're being criticized. First, when we are being praised and celebrated. Two is when we're being criticized. How do I react when I'm criticized or when I'm by other people? Do I welcome the feedback? And I'm able to honestly look at myself with this feedback and make changes to my life? Or do I immediately become defensive or push back or resist any kind of feedback? The person who resists feedback is the person who certainly is not humble. And I think a great example of a person who didn't resist the feedback was David. David, although he was the king, and he had all the authority in the kingdom, but when Nathan the prophet came and rebuked him for taking the wife of Uriah the Hittite, and he told them that it's not lawful for you to do this, he gave him this big, you know, story, and ended up pointing at him and says, "You're the man, and you have done so and so and so, and this is displeasing to the Lord." He ended up looking at himself and says, "I have sinned against the Lord." That's it. He didn't provide any excuse. He didn't say, "Well, what's making her, you know, stand on the top of the house? Why is she bathing in this way? Why is she standing here? Why is she walking like this? Why is she dressed like this?" He didn't give any excuses. He says, "I have sinned." He took the criticism, evaluated, and said, "Yes, there is right for the person to criticize me." Our humility is tested when we're criticized and people point out our faults. How do we handle this? The humble person will evaluate everything. I'm not saying that every criticism that we receive is a valid criticism. By all means, no. People might criticize us just for the sake of criticizing. But at least I listen to the criticism and see is this valid or not. The third way that our humility is tested is the engagement in competition. The engagement in competition. In competition, I can respect my opponent, or I can see the competition itself as a learning experience, or I can be ruthless and disrespectful. I remember once I was watching ESPN, and they had this comparison in tennis. They had a comparison between, I forget who the top tennis player at the time was, and they showed after he won the match, he's like celebrating in an interview. He's saying how he worked hard and all of these things, about all of his accomplishments. And then they flip and they go to the interview of the women's champion. And the whole time she's saying, complimenting her opponent that was defeated. She did such a good job. She was so, you know, prepared and all of this. And, you know, I wish her all the best. All of these, she's like praising the other person, right? And you compare the two, right? The woman who was praising her opponent is truly the humble one, right? Because she looked at the competition not as a way that I can defeat my enemy, but it's a learning experience. Some of the best athletes, if you ask them, how is it that you succeeded in becoming so good? They will tell you that I played with people that were better than me. So they used the healthy competition when they were younger to learn how to play better, learn different skills, right? But if every time I'm entering a competition so I can be better and succeed and to lord it over them, then I'm not going to benefit anything from the competition. The summer festival that we just had, you know, what is the purpose of this? Is for us to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and fellowship with one another. It's not about who gets first, second, or third place. If I look at the competition in this way, then I will get nothing out of it. But if I look at it as an opportunity for fellowship, an opportunity for me to look at myself and maybe know my weaknesses, then I benefit from it. Engagement in competition will test our humility. Lastly, is when given authority. When I have authority, this will also test my humility. When I'm given authority and I respect the hierarchy, the people who are above me, maybe if I've been promoted at work to a manager, okay, then this is a test to my humility. Well, then I lord it over those who are underneath me, or will I be graceful to them? Or will I respect the higher ups, or will I despise their decisions and talk bad about them and all their decisions and how I should be in that higher position? And if I were in their position, I would do things differently and better. How do we do that? The person who is humble will respect the hierarchy, right? I know where my position is, I know where my limits are, and I know how to submit to those who are, you know, responsible and those who are above me. This, unfortunately, was something that King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, failed in. He was given the authority, and right when he was given the authority, he took the advice and the elders told him, deal with the people kindly, and they will serve you forever. And then he goes to the people who are his peers, and they gave him the advice, you know, be harsh with them and let them submit to you. And unfortunately, he took their advice. And from this moment, the kingdom of Israel was split in two and never to be repaired. Because when he was given authority, he didn't deal in a humble manner. And if you think about it, all this is about is how I am comfortable with power. How comfortable are you with power? Whether in yourself or in others. How comfortable am I of having authority, and how comfortable am I and other people having authority over me? The humble person can benefit from both. I'll close by saying by St. Jacob of Sarug, he says, humility is the home of divinity. God will abide in it wherever it is. Let's consider ourselves. We gave ourselves four tests to test ourselves about humility. Number one is when you're being praised. How do I handle praise and celebration? Number two, how do I handle criticism? People criticize me. How do I handle competition? Is it all about me prevailing against them and making them look bad and me looking good? Number four, when given authority, how do I handle it? And keep in mind that humility is the home of divinity. May God be glory forever and ever. Amen.